lovely. Lady, be good. Oh, lady, be good to me.
You recognize her instantly. And it isn't just that remarkable voice. You recognize her character, the youthfulness, the exuberance, the freedom, the joy. More than anybody else's, her sound is the sound of America. For over 50 years, she had been at the top of her profession. Audiences, critics, and other musicians have honored her as the greatest singer of our time. Maybe that's because when you hear Ella Fitzgerald, you don't just recognize her, you feel good. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is Jazz Profiles, with a special tribute to the First Lady of Song, Ella Fitzgerald. That was the sound of Ella live at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles in 1957. Now, if you've ever seen Ella in person, you'll remember her warmth and the way she seems to be enjoying the music and the crowd every minute she's on stage. It was one of Ella's great qualities. Here are some others by friends who spoke about her back in 1993.
One of the most important elements in jazz is the rhythmic pulse. And Ella Fitzgerald has a time sense so secure that what she does always swings. In addition, she has remarkable harmonic hearing and great imagination and powers of invention.
Boy, do be boy. Boy, do do be boy. Good little dad, not that little dad.
She always strove to be in perfect pitch. I think that that's a gift. And it's a gift that she honed and realized it, what it was, to a point, I mean, where it is a perfection. Nobody's done it better, and I don't think anybody will in the near future.
Their ability to take time and do things with it. I mean, she's able to take tempos, fast tempos, slow tempos.
If you got a heart and if you're kind, then don't keep us apart, make up your mind. You're undecided now. What are you gonna do?
Her sound, you could compare it to the oboe, I think. Beautiful, lush, wide, deep, sweet, smooth, treacly, just sugar, you know, in sound.
Mr. Paganini, please play my rhapsody, and if you cannot play...
The key to all of this music, jazz, or whatever, is to listen. And she always listens, and she listens to everything. Absolutely everything.
Since she did improvise early in the 40s, there it was, a female who could do it, a female who could improvise, a female who took a chance and did something very, very, very different. So that's the influence, the fact that she, being a female, was allowed to improvise and the men didn't get mad.
Playing for Ella can be very easy or it can be very difficult. It all depends on what you make of it. She's got an intuitive genius where she knows what to put where. And if you challenge her, it's amazing what she'll come up with.
I used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places.
where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails.
The lightness of her voice seems to sort of skip over the music. It's like she's flying all the time, above it all. And part of that, of course, is due to the nature of the character of her voice.
I think Ella is a full circle. She encompasses everything. You can't find just certain parts that she does well and other things that she does not so well. Everything is beautiful.
Strange, dear, but true, dear, when I'm close.
First of all, she's a quintessential American popular singer. She's an all-American singer. That's about what you could say about Ella Fitzgerald.
So in love with you am I, even.
There just isn't another voice like that. And that became an aesthetic identity. Her timbre, her tone, her phrasing, her articulation, her pronunciation, hers is quintessentially what an American singer should sound like.
I have almost everything a human could desire.
As the great bass player Ray Brown, to whom she was married and who's the father of her son, as Ray once said, nobody does everything best. And Ella is one of the most musical singers we've ever had. And the collective body of what she has done in terms of songs is probably without equal. I mean, she's defined the American song.
Ella Fitzgerald is to be enjoyed. Just sit down and open up and enjoy.
We're asking a high, 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 high is the mood. Boo-bee-bee, boo-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-
Those were the comments of jazz singers Joe Williams, Betty Carter, and John Hendricks, writers Albert Murray and Gene Lees, and pianist Oscar Peterson, and the voice of Miss Ella Fitzgerald. Superlatives about Ella Fitzgerald are not hard to come by. Duke Ellington composed a portrait of her in music, just as Pablo Picasso had drawn one in ink. And in it, Duke described Ella as Her Majesty, all heart, beyond category, and total jazz. But maybe the closest anybody has come to describing in words what makes Ella great are these lines written in 1974 by Henry Pleasance. Listening to Ella, I sometimes find myself thinking that it is not so much what she does, or even the way she does it, as what she does not do. What she does not do is anything wrong. Everything seems to be just right.
Skies smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see.
Where did it come from, this enormous range of abilities, knowing not only what to do, but also what to leave out? Singer Betty Carter.
When you got talent, you got it. And she has talent. She was 16 when she joined Chick Webb.
In 1935, 16-year-old Ella Fitzgerald was discovered by drummer and bandleader Chick Webb. 6 years earlier, Ella and her mother had moved from Virginia to Yonkers, New York. Ella entered amateur night contest in nearby Harlem, and she took first prize at the famous Apollo Theater. From an archival interview in 1989, Miss Ella Fitzgerald.
Well, actually, when I went on the amateur contest, it was a bet, because I wanted to be a dancer, and two of my girlfriends, Frances and Doris, we had all planned to go to the Apollo Theater. We just said we'd put our names in because I lived in Yonkers, and we never thought anybody would call, and I was the one that got the call.
Vote for Mr. Rhythm, raise up your voice, and vote for Mr. Rhythm, the people's choice. Say you'll be happy with him, take my advice, and vote for Mr. Rhythm. I'm voting twice.
I looked and I saw all those people. I said, oh my gosh, what am I going to do out here? Because I was real thin, skinny, you know. And everybody started laughing. Said, what is she going to do? And I couldn't think of nothing else, so I tried to sing the object of my affection. But I was imitating Miss Connie Boswell, and I always love her and respect her for that.
Body meets a body on the ballroom floor, then the body asks the body, what's a swing band for? Oh, baby, I don't want you to go soft and mellow. Let me warn you in advance, sing me a swing song and let me dance. Oh, baby, I don't want any moves, bright and yellow. You can have your sweet romance, sing me a swing song and let me dance.
18-year-old Ella Fitzgerald with the Chickweb Orchestra and Sing Me a Swing Song. By all accounts, Chickweb was an extraordinary musical figure. Duke Ellington once wrote of him, some musicians are dancers, and Chick was. He can dance with a lot of things besides your feet. Chickweb was a dance drummer who painted pictures of dances with his drums. He had such control, such command of his audiences at the Savoy Ballroom because he was always in communication with the dancers, and he felt it the way they did. And his singer was Ella Fitzgerald. Critic Albert Murray.
Chick Webb was impressed by her and sort of adopted her as a band singer. Joining that group, she had the type of training that made for the very best background and skill that was needed for being a popular singer. That was her conservatory. You couldn't get in a conservatory what you could get singing with those bands.
She had an experience that the young people coming up today don't have. Her experience was singing live on radio with an orchestra for people who were dancing in the Savoy Ballroom. And that kind of experience is unbelievable, because you are relating to live people right there in front of you, and yet to millions of others by radio. And that's a lot of that's a lot of people all gravitating to the same force.
Singers Joe Williams and John Hendricks talk about Ella Fitzgerald with the Chick Webb Orchestra.
They always wanted a hit record, so they never had a hit record, because the mainstream of the hit records at that time were the Boswell Sisters and She Loved Connie, and so, you know, but she never had that hit. So she wrote a Tisket a Tasket herself, and she took it to Chick, and he gave it to the guy to write up and arrange. And I think it became a hit because it was simple enough to appeal to the wider audience, but it was still that hip that, you know, the jazz lovers also dug it, you know. So I think that's why it became a hit. It just hit everybody.
A tisket, a tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I send a letter to my mummy. On the way I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it.
A little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue, but not a single thing to do. She went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die.
One of the striking things about Ella's voice is that for years and years, and indeed for decades, the voice, the sound, never aged. The sophistication of her command of the art increased, but the sound remained about 16 years old.
A tisket, a tasket, I lost my yellow basket. And if that girlie don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh, gee, I wonder where my basket can be. Have you seen it over there?
I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket? Make me happy again, again. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No! No, just a little yellow basket. A little yellow basket.
Two versions of Ella Fitzgerald's 1938 hit, A Tisket, A Tasket, with commentary by Gene Lees. The first was recorded in 1938 by the Chick Webb Orchestra, including Chick Webb, drums, Mario Bauza, and Taff Jordan, trumpets, Louis Jordan, alto saxophone, and George Matthews, trombone. The later version was from a 1973 Newport Jazz Festival concert at New York's Carnegie Hall, with original Chick Webb Orchestra members Taff Jordan, Dick Vance, Eddie Bearfield, and George Matthews.
I thought I'd found the man of my dreams. Now it seems this is how the story ends. He's going to turn me down and say, can't we be friends? I thought for once it couldn't go wrong. Not for long, I can see the way this ends. He's going to turn me down and say, can't we be friends?
There was a quality of sincerity that came through a voice that was almost naive in its sincerity. It was like a very young girl saying something that she believed in. It was almost like nursery rhyme stuff that she sang.
What I heard was, please like me. Please like me. She never lost the sweet 16 sound.
Albert Murray and Joe Williams discussing one of the hallmarks of Ella Fitzgerald's sound, her young, girlish quality. In a way, it's reflective of the spirit of our young country, and it comes through clearly in this 1956 collaboration with another singularly American artist.
Yes, I thought I knew the wheat from the chaff. What a laugh. This is how the story ends. I let her turn me down, say, can't we be friends? But that day I acted like a kid out of school. What a fool. Now I see this is the end. I let her turn me down, say, can't we be friends? Oh, why should I care? Though she gave for me the air, why should I cry, have a sigh, and wonder why? Yes, I should have seen the single stop. What a flop, this is how the story ends. She's gonna take me down, say, can we be friends?
Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald singing Can't We Be Friends by Kay Swift and Paul James, with pianist Oscar Peterson, bassist Ray Brown, guitarist Herb Ellis, and drummer Buddy Rich. Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Dizzy Gillespie, Roy Eldridge, Count Basie, Lester Young, Coleman Hawkins, Charlie Parker. They all played with Ella Fitzgerald. Characteristically, she says it's she who learned from them.
By being with great musicians, I've felt that they always have been able to tell me, hey, sis, you're not singing today, or you're not doing that, and that I appreciate. I've had some great musicians, and I thank them actually for my education in music.
One way to start an argument among music people is to ask them to define what is a jazz singer. It's usually a good-natured argument, but if it ever gets out of hand, there's one thing everybody will always agree about. Whatever a jazz singer is, Ella Fitzgerald is a jazz singer. Whether she's trading scat solos with a trumpet player or performing ballads from one of her classic American popular songbooks. Writer and lyricist Gene Lees, critic Albert Murray, and singers Betty Carter and John Hendricks explain why.
If anybody is a jazz singer, Ella Fitzgerald is, because the capacity she has to improvise with the material is comparable only to a very few people.
It's like she has that, has all that jazz training with her at all times, because at any time that any musician in the background wants to challenge her or wants to come up with something, she has something for it. So she can improvise. I mean, she can riff. She can get in a jam session. She could get out there. It could be Paul Gonzalez, or it could be Charlie Parker, or it could be Roy Eldridge and whatnot, and Ella Fitzgerald could get out there and blow with him by saying no words at all.
There are a lot of singers who can sing a song in a jazzy way. I mean, they can swing. But I would say to be quintessentially a jazz singer, you have to learn how to scat. You have to know how to improvise. And what that means is you have to use your voice to do what the instrumentalist does.
In her songbooks, where she sang the melodies pretty straight, that is the thing that you do. But she was able to take the songs and still have a swinging feeling. It's a feeling that you get from her that says jazz singer.
I try to sound like a saxophone. Some people try to sound like a trumpet. Some people like a trombone. Everybody takes whatever sound suits them, whatever suits their psyche. Ella was trying to imitate everything. Sometimes she was a saxophone, sometimes she was a flute, sometimes she was a guitar, sometimes she was a piano, sometimes she was a drum. She was just all over the place. There was no containing that one.
Thank you. doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, doodin' doody, doodin' doody, broodin' 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 doody,
broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, broodin' doody, accompanying Ella was pianist Don Abney. I'm Nancy Wilson, and you're listening to a special tribute to singer Ella Fitzgerald on Jazz Profiles from NPR, National Public Radio.
Though I know that we meet every night, and we couldn't have changed since the last time, to my joy and delight, it's a new kind of love at first sight. Though it's you and it's I all the time, every meeting's a marvelous pastime. You're increasingly sweet, so whenever we happen to meet, I greet you with a song in my heart.
With a Song in My Heart by Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart, sung by Ella Fitzgerald in 1956, with Barney Kessel, guitar, Paul Smith, piano, Joe Mondragon, bass, and Alvin Stoller, drums. That recording is part of an enormous body of work called the Ella Fitzgerald Songbook Series. It's a giant artistic achievement, and it consolidated Ella's role as the ultimate American singer. Ella's desire for the music was immense. She loved to sing America's music. And in the Songbook series, she became the first singer to record systematically literally hundreds of tunes by America's greatest composers and lyricists, George and Ira Gershwin, Johnny Mercer, Harold Arlen, Duke Ellington, Rodgers and Hart, Irving Berlin, and Jerome Kern were among those whose works received definitive treatments from Ella Fitzgerald. But it all started with Cole Porter.
Like the beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick, tick, tock of the stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating you. You, you, night and day. You are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where.
The songbooks were the idea of jazz impresario Norman Granz. In the 1940s and 50s,
Grant's produced an important series of concerts around the world called Jazz at the Philharmonic, and they often featured Ella Fitzgerald. Before he could record the songbooks, Grant's had to wait until Ella had signed with his label, Verve Records.
I had become her personal manager 3 years before. I think I became Ella's personal manager in 53. And Ella, who's a very shy and unaggressive person, admitted she was a little apprehensive about my managing her because she said I was very aggressive and she didn't want to have problems. And I said, well, look, we don't have to have a contract, and if you don't like it, just stop. So as her manager in 53, I went to Decca and said, look, I have an idea, and I had laid out the entire Cole Porter songbook. I said, this is the way I think Ella should go now. And they said, you're crazy. We're not going to spend that kind of bread on Ella. I mean, we'll do a single record of Cole Porter, but we're not going to do a whole album. So they rejected the Cole Porter thing, and of course, when I got Ella's contract, that was the first project I decided to do.
Ella is one of those singers, I say, doesn't get in the way of the song. She lets the song be heard instead of imposing personality on it. I mean, there are great dramatic interpreters of song like Peggy Lee and Sinatra, who are wonderful. It's another thing. They do a different thing from what she does. If you want to listen to the song, fine. If you want to listen to the voice, fine. It doesn't impose interpretation on you. It lets you take what you want out of it.
I think that Ella taught all of the singers, all the girl singers and all the boy singers as well. Don't make too much of it. Hold it, you know, like it. And every tune is not a chaotic thing that you have to agonize over, what have you. Give the song a chance. Give the composer a chance. And she always has done that. She's had her own inflections, her own way of saying things, but she always gave the composer full marks and full credit, and you had a chance to know how the song really went.
Night and day, under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day, night and day, under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. Spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day.
Night and Day, Ella Fitzgerald from the Cole Porter Songbook, with orchestra arranged and conducted by Buddy Bregman, produced by Norman Granz, and recorded in Los Angeles in 1956. We also heard comments by writer Gene Lees and singer Joe Williams. Some of us do one thing well. If we're lucky, we do a couple of things well. But nobody in the history of American song has done as many things as well as Ella Fitzgerald. Almost any one of her hundreds of recorded performances could be used to illustrate. She made it seem so effortless that it's easy to take Ella for granted. We've chosen two performances to give you an idea of the stunning range of her artistry. They could only come from a woman who was not only a great artist, but also a great and generous human being because of the depth and feeling they show. One is terribly sad, the other is wonderfully joyous. One is with a piano, the other is with a big band. One is a controlled, disciplined ballad, the other is a free-swinging flag waver. It's Ella Fitzgerald with her dear friend Duke Ellington and his orchestra, recorded in France in 1966. The tune, It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. But first, it's Ella with pianist Oscar Peterson, performing Mack Gordon and Harry Warren's There's a Lull in My Life, recorded in 1975. Oscar Peterson.
My favorite tune of Ella's is There's a Lull in My Life. And if they ever send anything else into space to tell them what went on musically in the century, that's the album they should send in, that performance. I mean, that's, to me, that's perfection. Because she has that kind of intuitive, creative sense that she knows what she wants where. And you have to think ahead and sense what she's doing and say, oh, she's into this, okay, fine. I know what goes with that. I have something that goes with that. This will go with that because it's sensitive enough. Or this will make her do that even more deeply because it's heavy enough. You have to work this. It's a continual quilt of thought that goes on behind playing for Ella.
Oh, there's a lull in my life. It's just a void and empty space. When you are not in my embrace. Oh, there's a lull in my life. The moment that you go away, there is no night, there is no day. Rain, rain, go away. Come in some other day, boy.
Our special tribute to Ella Fitzgerald was produced by Rolando Arrieta, with assistance from Andy Trudeau, Margaret Howes, and Sharon Johnson. Writer, Murray Horwitz. Studio engineer, Johnny Carrillo. Norman Granz and Oscar Peterson interviews, courtesy of David Tarnow. Ella Fitzgerald interview, courtesy of Radio Smithsonian. Our thanks to Phil Schapp, Lars Howell, Verve Records, GRP Records, NPR's New York and Los Angeles bureaus, and the Institute of Jazz Studies. Jazz Profiles is produced by Tim Owens, with production assistance by Madeline Smith. The executive producers are Mary Beth Kirshner and Murray Horwitz. For more information about Jazz Profiles, this program, and a listing of future programs in the series, look for NPR's homepage on the World Wide Web at npr.org. Major support for this program comes from a major grant from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people to make the arts part of their everyday lives. Additional support has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, NPR member stations, and NPR. I'm Nancy Wilson, saying jazz is as pure as the life we live. So live it. Do you This is NPR, National Public Radio. Thanks for listening. To hear more programs in this series, go to npr.org/jazzprofiles.